my challenges were, and once we did, it was really kind of freeing in a way. You know, I actually view it more as an asset, really, because I could focus on and kind of remember. I watched a lot of like cartoons growing up, playing a lot of video games, watching a lot of movies and stuff, and I would kind of imitate those characters. And I even kind of learned how to speak to people through various videos and other things. It just helped me kind of learn how to communicate better. With Iggy, I even brought a little bit of that in there. One thing for me is I can't read social cues very easily. I've gotten better at it, and that's what Iggy kind of did with Abacus. He was so caught up in what he was doing that he didn't really see how he was making poor Abacus feel bad.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it. Abacus, one thing that he could have done better is maybe explain how he was feeling, right? To be open and honest about his feelings.
It's like a conversation. You have a conversation with two people. It takes two people to have a conversation. It's hard to be the first one to admit you're wrong and apologize, but usually it leads to the other person going, yeah, I'm sorry too. And
it is, like you said, it's a conversation where two people are listening and really responding.
You did bring up I was also a teacher as well. And I'm glad that we kind of came up with this story about the conflict because, you know, with kids, I see conflict all the time. And it's over some things that could just very easily be resolved with, hey, just take a little break and, you know, try and talk it out and stuff. But, you know, kids, like even grown-ups, they're stubborn.
I taught the same age range after school for years, and I feel you 1,000,000%. A lot of our parents have shared resources with me in the past, and Jody, who is a producer and co-creator of your show,
yes,
has shared resources as well. There's all kinds of resources, whether you're neurotypical or neurodiverse.
There's a lot out there, and there's a lot, you know, it takes a little bit of work on the individual's part, but with a good support system and good resources, that person can live a very happy and well-fulfilled life, as, you know, I had. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's story is going to be like me. It's definitely, definitely possible for anybody. Neurotypical or neurodiverse, what have you, it's possible for everybody.
I hope you enjoy the story, and, you know, a little bit of an extended interview, yes, because Jonathan and I just really hit it off, I wanted you to hear from him. So thank you again for coming on the show. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully there will be an opportunity to do this again sometime. This is a lot of fun, and please don't hesitate to reach out.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot. Bye, guys.
So Remy, Dan, and Liam, I hope you enjoyed your story. Liam, we are going to play your question now.
My name is Liam, and my what-if question is, what if Abacus gave people wheels for feet and cars arms? And I really like my bearded dragon cipher. I love your podcast. Bye.
Thank you for giving us our final transformation in your question. JF Cat here to shout out Viviana. She's 6 years old and loves What If World. She listens every day on the way to school and has a cat named Jingles and a fish named Suggs, short for sugar. So maybe I should say that, Shugs. And I am here to shout out Olive Hawthorne, age 9. Olive is from Australia and wanted to shout out brother Sam as well.
And I have a big thank you for Mabel Davis, age 9.
Then, of course, there is Emma, age 9, from San Francisco, California. She's in the 4th grade and has 2 pets, a cat named Tobin, and an 8-month-old puppy named Delilah.
Finally, there's Tabitha, who's 8 years old. She loves gaming on her Nintendo Switch, and also dogs, of course, in the color black. Her siblings are Lily, Dexter, and Cece.
I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator.